Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
Jesus never promised us a perfect or problem-free life, but he did promise us in the midst of the problems and difficulties that we could have abundant life. Next on Daily in the Word, Dr. Chappell explores how we can discover abundant life in Christ. Stay with us. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of the West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. This program comes to you every Monday through Friday, and we are currently in a series entitled Abundant Christian Living. We're going to discover afresh and anew how, in difficult times, we can still have the abundant life that Jesus Christ promised us. If you only hear a portion of today's program, or if you'd like to hear recent broadcasts, you can visit us at dailyintheword.org and click on the links to listen to programs on your computer. You can also subscribe to the Daily Podcast and, of no charge, bring that program to your iPod or portable music player. All of that is to be found at dailyintheword.org. But right now, we're going to enter this series, Abundant Christian Living. Pastor, why don't you give us a word of introduction?
I'm looking forward to our time in Matthew 14 today as we study one of the greatest and most difficult days in the earthly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine in a single day hearing about the death of a dear friend. Imagine thousands of people following you and having great needs spiritually and physically. Imagine fighting against the satanic opposition and forces that continually followed you. If you can imagine a day like that, you're beginning to see the tremendous pressure that Jesus faced in Matthew 14. And yet we're going to learn today how to abound over that pressure. For greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. Let's turn to Matthew 14 and learn today how to live the abundant Christian life.
When it comes to the subject of living an abundant Christian life, most Christians are failing miserably today. When it comes to really abounding daily, and when it comes to really exalting in what you have in the Lord, so oftentimes the joy subsides as Sunday services pass and as the week begins to progress. And perhaps many Christians enjoy what we would call a momentary rush of excitement when they're in church or when they hear some type of a song, and maybe similar to the adrenaline rush they received prior to their salvation with their rock music or whatever it was that brought that rush to them. And so their life continues on a cycle of emotional, spiritual kind of a high, and then down to the dumps. And then high again, and then down to the dumps again. But what we've been talking about has been how to abound, how to stay on top spiritually, and what does it take to be in that place continuously and constantly, as so many can see in the Bible and as so many enjoyed that type of relationship in the Bible. Even when things were not going well, in their heart they could say, "It is well with my soul." In their heart they could say, "I have peace like a river." Now let me say that one thing is sure when it comes to this abundant life: no Christian will ever truly have peace or joy in their heart when they are violating principles of the Word of God. No Christian will ever truly abound when they are violating the Word of God, knowingly violating the Word of God. The Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. And sin breaks fellowship between you and your God. And so as we study these scriptural principles, it is our goal to apply them to our everyday lives. Now the Apostle Paul knew what it was to abound for Christ. He knew what it was to really and truthfully have the joy of Christ in his heart. And before us is Paul's deathbed challenge. These were his last words to a young man by the name of Timothy. And as Paul wrote from that maritime prison there in Rome, he realized that his days were coming to an end. Indeed, he said, the time of my departure is at hand. He knew that soon his life would vanish away. And yet he shares some principles in this particular chapter of the Bible that really and truthfully help us to see how that we can abound in our lives. You know, so oftentimes, if you'll talk to someone who's lived the majority of their life, and if you'll seek their wisdom, especially a Christian, about their life, you'll learn so many lessons and so many things that perhaps you'll do a little bit differently, or some things that you're doing now that you'd stop doing as you seek their advice about how to abound in the Christian life. How many people say, you know, I wish I could have done it differently. I wish I could live it all over again. But here's a man, the Apostle Paul, who, looking back on his life and realizing that his life is coming to an end, shares some principles that he believed would help young Timothy, whom he loved and who he desired to have this abundant life. He gave these principles to him so that he would continue on abounding for the Lord. Now, there are three things that Paul shares in this chapter that I believe were keys to the abundant life he lived and that he desired for others to live. Notice, first of all, the preaching of the Word of God is vital for a Christian's life if indeed we're going to abound day by day. He says in verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Notice the word charge. There's an irrevocable responsibility here. He says, I am giving to you a mandate. And I want you to realize that this is in light of the fact that Jesus will come someday and that all of us will stand before the judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Paul challenges Timothy, he challenges him as a preacher of the gospel to preach the Word of God. And I would submit to you that no Christian will abound in their Christian life if they avoid willfully the preaching of the Word of God. For God in His Word has established the preaching of His Word to be that which would keep us in direction. Now understand, preaching is different from teaching, and teaching is a part of our Christian growth as well. But there is something about the preaching of the Word of God that puts us back on the straight and narrow and keeps us on the path that God would have for us to live. Teaching many times affects our intellectual mind, and teaching so many times is subject to one's opinion or one's interpretation. But the preaching of the Word of God is that which is absolute and authoritative so long as it is Bible-based. And so Paul is telling Timothy, for the sake of your life, for the sake of those young churches, preach the Word of God. Paul wanted those Christians to abound. He wanted them to succeed. And so Paul says, Timothy, keep the pulpit hot. You keep preaching the Word of God. You keep giving the Word of God out. The word there in the Greek is the word keruk. It means a declaration with authority. Paul said, I know you're young, Timothy. But he said in chapter 2, let no man despise thy youth. He said, but preach the Word of God with authority. Now let's notice this in verse 2. Preach the Word. If you would notice there, he was not to preach denominational politics. He was not to preach his personal experiences. He was to preach the infallible Word of God. You'll see in chapter 3 and verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Look, the word perfect means mature. And if you're to be mature, then you will allow yourself to be faithfully under the preaching of the Word of God. God's Word will help us to maintain and to abound. He was to be preaching very diligently. He was to preach it when it was convenient, when it wasn't convenient, because that's what the people needed, and that's what God intended for His people to receive. My dad was over a few years ago before the Tiananmen Square there in China. And as they were there, they were passing out gospel literature. And one of the guards came up to my father and another man who were there visiting China. And he said, please do not encourage our people to give those out. My dad was giving out a few to each one and telling them, give it to your friends. They learned how to say that in Chinese. And he'd give each of the people a little stack and say, give these out to your friends. And the guard said, do not give them more than one. And my dad said, well, is it against the law for them to have faith in a God? And the man said, no, in this country, you can have faith in God, you can believe in God, but you cannot persuade others to believe in God. In other words, the logic was, if they could keep them from spreading their faith, then their faith one day would become extinct and there would be no Christianity left in China. You know, dear friend, because of our convenience-orientated Christianity, because so many preachers preach it when it's in season, but they will not preach against sin when it's not convenient, we find that many suffer. And so Paul said, you are to preach the Word of God in season, out of season. You be diligent whether it's popular or unpopular. Just keep preaching and hammering away at the Word of God. And so we must see it. And if God has ordained the preaching of the Word of God, then we must not shy away from it. And so he says, preach the Word, be in season and out of season. But not only were they to preach the Word, not only were they to preach it diligently, but they were to preach it with a certain kind of conviction. You'll notice the words there, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. You see, there is a certain way that God intends for His Word to be preached. And the Bible says, first of all, reprove. That means to give it forth with great conviction and with great authority. Someone says, well, I don't particularly like preaching. I think that really what we need, and many churches now have gone to an hour and a half of singing and then just a little ditty of a message afterwards. Some people have gone to rap sessions. Some people have gone to all different types of philosophies today. But my friend, the Bible still says in 1 Corinthians 1:17 that God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to confound the wise and to bring sinners to a place of salvation. The Bible says here, preach the Word of God. I'm saying whether it offends someone or not, whether it's convenient or not, whether the yuppies like it or not, whether the hippies like it or not, blessed be God, He has ordained preaching, and you and I need preaching in our lives today. The preaching of the Word of God. So He says, reprove, and then notice what else He says, rebuke. Now follow with me. To rebuke means to warn from sin. It means to stand up and call sin, sin. And the Bible says reprove and rebuke. And then the Bible says exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And you ought to do a study sometime and find how many times the word doctrine is mentioned in this book of the Bible. A lot of people don't want preaching that has to do with doctrine. They'd rather have some kind of an emotional type service. But what we need is the authoritative preaching of the Word of God. He said reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Now, let me explain something to you. You and I, in preaching, need all of these things. We need to be reproved. We need to be rebuked. And we need to be exhorted, which means to encourage. Now, so many simply want the exhortation and not the rebuking. But friend, what God says is we need a balance of all of it. And we need to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Every Christian needs that kind of preaching. By the way, Paul predicted that one day there would come a time when men would not want that kind of a ministry. They would not want that kind of a church. Notice, if you will, what the Bible says in verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. By the way, that's what they're saying today. Hey, we don't want to emphasize doctrine. You believe in God. I believe in God. Let's just all believe in God. Let's not talk about doctrine. By the way, the devil believes in God. The devil would love for you not to talk about doctrine. You see, dear friend, many Christians today belittle doctrine. understand something. Doctrine is the thing that makes the church and helps the church to hold together. Doctrine is the glue that holds the church together. Friend, if you do not believe that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, then today we have nothing in common. If you today do not believe the Bible is the Word of God, then we don't even have a starting point. If you believe that water cleanses sin and not the blood of Christ, then we've got to get that straightened out. You see, doctrine is important. And so he said, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with doctrine. In other words, our preaching needs to be more than situation ethics, more than Sigmund Freud. It needs to be Bible-based and doctrinal if it's going to get the job done today. People are saying, yeah, but our messages have to be relevant. Wait a minute. Are we saying that the Bible is not relevant? Bible doctrine is all the relevancy that we need today. And it does apply. And it will help if we'll open our hearts to it. But the Bible says in verse 3, the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine. They'll make fun of doctrine. They'll make fun of tradition. By the way, tradition in itself is not necessarily good or bad, but Paul did tell the church at Thessalonica. He said, mark the traditions which we have taught you and hold fast to them. Some of the traditions that we do in this church are Bible traditions. You say, all right, help me understand that, all right? How about this thing of preaching? If it was good enough for the first century church, then it's good enough for the 20th century church. Say, why do you pass an offering plate? 1 Corinthians 16, the Bible declares, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, such as God hath prospered him. It's Bible, friend, that's why. Say, why do you have soul winning? Why do you have that tradition? That's just a tradition. You can just be a shiny, bright Christian, and people will come and ask you how to get saved. I've never had that happen yet. You know why we go out and tell others how to be saved? Because Jesus said, go, that's why. We can excuse it away all we want, friend. Some tradition is Bible-based tradition, and we must not forsake it or we will go against the teaching of this blessed book. Christians need to understand the importance, and yet the Bible says they'll not endure sound doctrine. Notice what it says in verse 3. But after their own lusts, that's the fleshly part of them, they will heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. Now you'll notice they heap unto themselves what? Teachers. This is a little bit of a class today. I know a little bit different. They're going to ask for teachers. It says they're going to say, we don't want that old preaching that rebukes us with doctrine. We want some teachers who will itch our ears and make us feel good all over. Give us some men in shining robes with crystal cathedrals who will teach us situation ethics and tell us how good we really are and that we're not really sinners. I'm here to declare to you the doctrine of sin. The doctrine of sin declares all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The doctrine of sin declares that the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And until you understand the doctrine of sin, you do not even know your need for Christ. You see, we must not forsake the doctrinal teachings of the Word of God. And we must preach that doctrine. And we must put our faith in the teachings of the Word of God. But the Bible says, they'll say, we don't want that sound doctrine. We want something that will make us feel good all over. We want teachers who will itch our ears and scratch our ears. And so you need to understand something today. That men and women, rather than coming to the Word of God and saying, I want the preaching of the Word of God to sustain me in the 90s. And the preaching of the Word of God, if it's been good for all these hundreds and thousands of years, it's good enough for me today. And if it was good for R.A. Torrey, and if it was good for Billy Sunday, and if it was good for Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and if it was good for John R. Rice, and if it was good for all the rest of the great evangelists of yesteryear, then blessed be God. We'd better get back to it today while there's still time for America. This situation ethics preaching, this little emotional, syrupy entertainment type of church worship is nothing more than a trick to water down the dogmatism that this blessed book has for you and for me today. And you and I need some dogmatism in our lives. Some right, some wrong, some doctrine to put your life on, to found your life on. So many times this emotionalism, this rebelliousness, it will not last. I've seen churches in recent years up and down this state. They're going to make a statement. They're going to take on established religion. They're going to preach against it. They're going to preach against being a Baptist. By the way, I was Baptist born and Baptist bred, and when I die, I'll be Baptist dead. I'm a Baptist. You might as well mark it down, dear friend. The name out front says Baptist. I'm proud of it. That name stands for some very important doctrine. Anybody that would take the name off doesn't understand, dear friend, the blood that was shed to keep that name. Dear friend, we need doctrine. You say, why are you a Baptist? Because Baptists historically have held to conservative, solid Bible doctrine. You say, what if all the Baptists change? Maybe we'll change our name then, but blessed be God, we believe that these truths must be held to. Now look, they're going to take on established religion. They're going to make fun of being a Baptist. They're going to make fun of the old Bible. They're going to make fun of the hymns. Most of these songs today, I'm not sure if the guy's singing about his girlfriend or about God. You need to know that they're singing about God. Amen? Amen. You know, he held me and he's so wonderful. I just get oozy all over. That's a bunch of garbage. I get goose pimples. Look, we need something with a message to it. The fact of the matter is that they're going to try to change all of it. Will you hold on a second? You want me to tell you what's happening? They're going to send the next generation right down the tubes. As this generation watches them changing everything that we've held sacred, the children are going to see that and lose all respect for what's taking place. Their idea of church is going to be a rock concert, not preaching of the Word of God. They'll get all excited about the music and the beach volleyball times, but they're not going to get excited about what they ought to be excited about, and that is this blessed book. I'm saying we're living in changing times. I'm saying that we're living in a time when nothing is sacred, when everyone is being made fun of, and when people are saying, as the Bible says in verse 3, we don't want that doctrinal preaching. We want situation ethics teaching. We want someone to make us feel good. Listen, you're not going to feel good until you get right with God. When you start getting right with God, your life starts lining up with this book. Brother, you're going to feel real good about that. Paul the Apostle on his deathbed in those last days of the first century, he said, Timothy, before I die, I've got one request for you. He said, Timothy, keep preaching it. Preach the word. Preach the word and preach it in season and out of season and reprove them sometime and rebuke them. But not only are we going to need preaching, we're going to need patience in times of affliction. If you would notice in verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Paul says he's going to have to be patient in time of tribulation. He says, first of all, watch thou in all things. He says, Timothy, look, be on guard. Peter said it this way in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You see, Paul says the same thing. He says, I want you to watch in all things. People are taking marriage today like it's easy come, easy go. And the devil's going to try and wreck your home. The devil's going to try and bring somebody at your work, perhaps, to draw you away from your faith. And you need to be watching all the time. Why? The devil's going to bring affliction to your life. That's why. And when that affliction comes and when those trials come, you need to be very watchful. And notice the Bible says in verse 5, you need to endure those afflictions. Notice over in chapter 3 and verse 12 what it says. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. In other words, if you're going to take this Christian life seriously, if you're going to come to church, if you're going to change the old habits, some people are going to make fun of you.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell. We invite you to dailyintheword.org. At our website, you can contact us. You can also listen to recent broadcasts or subscribe to the complimentary podcast and download this radio program and take it with you on your computer or iPod. That's all at dailyintheword.org. We do have a gift for you this month when you call or write to us and let us know that you're listening. We want to send you Dr. Chappell's book entitled Leaders Who Make a Difference. This 100-page paperback book is a study of three great Bible leaders and will challenge you to make a greater difference in your world and in the lives of those you influence. Also, as you're celebrating the season and preparing for giving of gifts to those you love, I hope you'll visit strivingtogether.com. for a world of gifts that you won't find anywhere else, and especially gifts that will help others grow in the Christian faith. Many books and resources await your discovery. Visit our publications arm at strivingtogether.com, and all through the holiday season, you will enjoy a 20% discount due to our Christmas sale. If you'd like to contact us, do so by sending an email when you visit us at dailyintheword.org or simply call us toll-free. Our number, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. We'd be happy to send you a catalog of all of those resources I mentioned a while ago. And again, that number, 800-201-7748. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. Until next time, have a great day.